Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Voo Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is October 26th, and we are recording this on Wednesday night, and we are halfway through the week as the Lions prepare to go to battle against the mighty Dolphins. Is a Dolphin mighty? We'll get into all that in a moment. But the Lions hosting the Dolphins this week in Ford Field. The Lions desperately needing a victory to hold on to this season, to keep it alive. And there might be some good news on the injury front. So we'll get into all that, but in a moment. But first, I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So we got UJ.
Hey, Lions faithful.
Red Dog.
Yo.
Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Connor.
What's up?
All right, gentlemen. So as I mentioned, Lions hosting the mighty Dolphins. The Dolphins, a team with a lot of controversy. They've lost a few draft picks here and there based on how they dealt with. I mean, they offered like Tom Brady ownership stake, Brian Flores firing, which may or may not have been racially motivated. That's still in the courts for to decide. There's just a lot going on with this franchise. On top of that, Tua had a major concussion issue a few weeks ago. He was out for a game or two. Teddy Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson, their backup quarterbacks, were thrown in there. They were not too successful, really. But Tua came back last week against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Played decently, but he's clearly a step above them. Now, if you think he's a good quarterback, we can get into all that. But actually, the Tua rule is, unfortunately, got applied to Amon-Ra last week and kept him out of the game. Oh. Amon-Ra passed all the concussion tests on the sideline instantly, but he got up a little wobbly, and because he got up ever so wobbly after a hit, he was automatically taken out of the game. So I'm not sure why they have the test on the sideline if you're automatically out of the game anyways. Wow. But alas. So the Dolphins, how are we feeling, first of all, regardless of who the opponent is? Swift looks like he's trending towards actually playing this week. How are we feeling about, you know, we've had a few days to decompress from the Cowboys game. Are we feeling good? Are we drinking the Blue Kool-Aid this week on this Wednesday?
Yes. Oh yeah, of course.
Totally.
Oh
yeah.
Delicious.
Why? The defense.
Yeah. Why?
The
defense. Tell them. I need somebody to explain to the listeners why.
I will if you let me.
UJ.
Okay. The defense right now is feeling it, man. After that game last week, I know we lost. It wasn't perfect, but they discovered themselves suddenly. Like, they woke up out of their slumber, and I think they're feeling kind of a certain sort of cockiness now. And I think these guys are ready to stretch their muscles a little bit more, see what they can do against this team. This is a good team to do it against, I think. And, I think that's the main reason. Plus, hopefully, Swift coming back, too.
Yeah,
those are my main reasons.
Rod Dog, you had some?
I mean, yeah, it's the what the coaching showed me last week and their ability to adapt. I think you know, the defense made a big leap forward and just understanding what they have. Sort of what Dan Campbell was saying in his presser today or yesterday, I don't remember, but he was saying, you know, we finally figured out kind of what of our identity, what our strengths are, as opposed to what we hoped they were based on the roster we had going into the season and what we expected. Like, I think they did finally come to some realizations and made some correct adjustments. The defense showed some big strides. I think the offense is going to get back on track this week. And I mean, I think they're building steam.
And, you know, Bob and Connor and crew, Sheila Camp came out. She said she's still supporting Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, despite the record. You guys agree with her? Are you happy to hear that still?
Yes.
I know it's year two. So.
Well, on the one hand, yes. On the other hand, it is sad for all of us that she has to come out and say this less than halfway through the season. That's never a good sign for the season. That being said, I don't see any reason to panic. I mean, if you look at Josh Pascal, you look at some of the draft picks, you look at some of the changes in the front office, like, this has always been a really long-term rebuild. I know we expect results right away. It would be great for the pod if they were winning, if they were 5-1 instead of 1-5. But I mean, it's they're playing the really long game here, and I think we have to right the ship and stay on it until they give us a reason to think otherwise. So I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm with you guys too, because in the last pod I doubled down at the low point, and so I think Sheila might have heard the pod there and got inspired to talk to the press about that. So I'm totally
very plausible.
We got the voice of the owner on this podcast.
Hey, you gotta have some faith, man.
You know, Matt Patricia, 9-20-1, in his tenure as a Lions coach. Dan Campbell, 4-18-1.
Let me
totally
briefly talk about that
circumstance,
because everyone brings that up. And
I just wanted to bring it up because it's a point that I've seen thrown around.
I just want to bring up the fact that Patricia inherited a really good team.
Yes, exactly.
Campbell inherited a terrible team, and we got rid of like two of our best players like right out of the gate. So, you know, totally different situation.
Bob, thank you for putting that right to rest, Bob. I just wanted to throw it out there.
There's a matter of a vibe check. Like, you know, that was a toxic team environment that Patricia built. Bob said, he took that team down a few pegs. That was toxic. You could feel it. The wins didn't matter so much as the context. And I think this is a totally different vibe for this team.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's get into the injury news a little bit. As I mentioned, DeAndre Swift had his first full practice since week one. So that's encouraging, at least. A few new injuries. No practice on Wednesday for Hawk, Jonah Jackson. Matt Nelson, Charles Harris continue to still be out. Mike Hughes, Deshaun Elliott, Iffy, Chase Lucas. So still a long injury list. A lot of new injuries on there. But especially Hawk and Jonah Jackson. Hopefully that is, not something that comes to fruition on Sunday. We need them out there. We need this whole roster out there. It's already limited roster. We need them. Amon-Ra. Limited practice in concussion protocol, but he, by all accounts, is expected to play. Frank Ragnow still hurt. Taylor Decker, a neck injury. Do you use spot in practice? Just limited. I would guess he plays. Will Harris is also back out there, too. So,
now our defense is saved, baby.
But,
need everyone we can end. All hands on deck.
That's right.
How come our injury report is always like a book? It's not just like a couple people. It's always like huge printout.
Yeah. Seriously.
It seems
wait,
like
I gotta wait for the injury report. Still printing. Hang on. We gotta wait for it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like league-wide there's more injuries than there used to be. Maybe that's not true, but it feels true.
Turf and, just faster people.
Yeah, what do we think about that? JC, I don't hit this on my, outline or anything like that, but JC, Treader, I think he's still in charge of the Player Association. If not, he was, and he's been very outspoken about playing surfaces in the NFL. They're sometimes kind of subpar, and there's a lot of injuries. Like, this is really a reaction to a guy in the Rams stepped on a piece of carpeting and tore his ACL on a Monday Night Football, or I'm sorry, the Chargers, the Broncos, sorry, a linebacker on the Broncos stepped on a piece of carpet that was just like off to the side that probably should never be there. It was covering some wires and stuff like that, but it probably should be like hard plastic. But either way, these, especially new turf, just from experience, a new turf is bad for Achilles injuries. Historically newer turf, if like it, when it's not broken in, has a lot more Achilles injuries than not. And if you've seen like field playing surfaces like the Bears have, for instance, they're just like worse than a lot of high school fields in the area.
Their grass is gnarly. I played on it for the Prep Bowl a couple times, and it was I was always like blown away by how it wasn't any better. That the only difference was the big stadium around it. The field was like any like a grammar school field.
But that is real grass, and I know some of the players were saying they should just go to all grass.
Right, that gets back to JC Treader saying we should get completely rid of turf, put all natural grass in all fields to eliminate injuries. I don't know how the Lions would do that in a dome.
Yeah, that's
like the Cardinals can do it. They roll out their grass outside and push it back into the stadium.
They're building it now. You'd have to retro or grandfather
need
in the
giant
older
UV lights just basking down to give them sunlight.
Yeah, like everybody plant it like the night before. It's like a nice like community gathering.
Poke holes in the roof.
What's that, UJ?
Cut a hole in the roof, man.
Yeah, or like Minnesota, you just, you know, get a bunch of snow and just a hole opens up eventually.
Turf does suck, though. I don't know any athletes.
It's that springiness. You add that springiness to your already natural. Like, think about it this way. These guys are bigger, faster, and stronger than any point of human history. Like, these guys are turning into such freaks, and the body hasn't changed all that. Like, so many of these tendon injuries are these dudes just pushing their body to limits. Like, you watch Tariq Cohen pop his Achilles because he's just moving his feet so damn fast and powerful. You do that and just line up something just a little off or something, your body, those tendons just can't hold up to that power. And then add the springiness of the turf on top of that, and it's not surprising that all this is happening. And then, you know, for concussions as well. But
for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back into the game for Sunday here. So the Dolphins, if you're not aware too, obviously their quarterback, but they are kind of loaded, at least wide receiver wise. That's what the strength of this team is. Obviously Tyreek Hill, the big offseason. Yep. Speed is the name of the game for them. Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, pretty speedy running backs. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, the two big names on this offense. And then Mike Gesicki, their tight end, pretty athletic tight end. I need to see their injury report, actually. Taron Armstead, he didn't play last week, and he is extremely – this offense, when he's playing, their left tackle – formerly of the Saints left tackle, is phenomenally better EPA wise, everything. But he has not played the last couple weeks, and it's really hurt them. So it'll be interesting to see if he's ready to play. I have no insight, if he will be. I think he's trending towards not playing. No, he didn't practice today. So that would be huge. And then on defense, just a couple notable players, Melvin Ingram, and probably the most, Jalen Phillips, the safety, or outside linebacker, sorry. And then Xavien Howard, the cornerback. They'll put him in a lot of man coverage. So if Amon-Ra is playing, expect him to be out there going one-on-one with, I don't know if he's the highest paid cornerback in the league anymore, but he's definitely top five. So a great match for Amon-Ra. But this, we should have the advantage in the offensive line in this game. Would you guys agree?
I would totally agree.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, what do you guys want to see out of this offense that we haven't seen the last couple of weeks? So do you want to see
points,
touchdowns?
Well,
lots of points.
Yeah, that would be nice.
No fumbles on the 1 yard line would be cool.
Schematically,
no pick sixes.
Now we need Goff to get back to his early season form for sure. I mean, he's got to do a little gut check this week.
Well,
if come back and play much better this week, he has to. You know, he'll have Amon-Ra back and, you know, most of his core back and hopefully Swift. And he should have no excuse for not playing a better game this week. So,
to me, it's do or die for Goff. If Goff doesn't start playing really well very soon, I think the writing's on the wall for him, unfortunately. You just can't be that.
Bring in Nate Sudfeld halfway through the season.
God.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe not that, but in terms of Goff's long term future with the team, I think is in more doubt than it was 3 weeks ago.
Were you guys ever expecting him to be re-signed eventually? Or like, because here's something I just saw brought
Goff?
Up somewhere else. Yeah, and like, and at the very least, even if Goff does struggle this year, like, and we do end up drafting a quarterback next year, like, we don't have to get rid of Goff next year either. He could potentially still hold down the starting role, you know, as a rookie gets a chance to, you know, assimilate. So, I mean, we're not necessarily in a bad position with Goff regardless, I feel like, as long as he's not, like, absolute garbage, which I don't think he will be. I think he'll be a serviceable starter at the very least going forward.
Well,
what do you guys
think? Enough tools around him, I would agree with that. Just seems that when things break down and aren't perfect, he struggles.
Like every other quarterback? Well,
yeah.
Probably a little worse. Like
but there's other there's other quarterbacks that still
no, they have
rise
more.
Above that.
Well, yeah, I saw his interview today, and he was talking about his pocket presence and how he screwed up last week, and he was going to practice it this week. So,
yeah.
Good.
That's all we need.
All right.
So he's aware of it. He's aware of it. So
okay. I'm going to run 5 yards further back, not forward.
Yeah.
In the pocket.
I'd only step back further. Yeah.
I wonder if he like sees a sports psychologist, because sometimes it feels like it's like a consistency thing, and he just gets in his own head. Like, he has the ability to command the pocket. We saw it
the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
I think when he gets flustered and something bad happens, he just reverts to some bad version of himself. I don't know what it is. But he's...
Yeah, he does. It's not natural. Like it sort of reminds me when Stafford learned to put touch on his deep ball. Like that first year, he was dropping dimes, but you could always tell he was so much more conscientious about every throw, and he went through a process like, and now he just does it reflexively. It feels like Goff is still learning that. And like when he falls off his training, it just reverts to old bad habits.
Yeah.
He's just got to keep refining. Keep getting better. Keep
you heard about all training camp. Like he looked great. And then the first 4 weeks of season, he looked great. And then the last 2 weeks, he's lost a little bit.
Without his receiving core, his O-line starting to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, that goes
to
what...
I don't think they struggled as much as...
That goes to what UJ said, though, about the getting people back, getting the right pieces around him, because when he had a pretty healthy offense, he did pretty well, you know, with Shark out there and Swift, and those guys, Amon-Ra. So maybe he'll be better this week with Amon-Ra back full strength.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he relies on the pieces around him more than some of the quarterbacks do. So
yeah, he's not the top tier guy who's going to create everything for himself. He needs help, but that's most quarterbacks in the NFL, honestly. Like, even Tom Brady. When does Tom Brady look human? When his pieces around him start failing? When the O line starts failing? That's when Tom Brady suddenly looks like every other quarterback.
It's fun watching him implode all of a sudden, though. I'm liking it.
Well, now I'm not even talking about now. I'm thinking more like there's some joy in that, even though it's like jealousy. He's just so great. You gotta.
Well, let's see how Goff is. I mean, I'm not expecting Reynolds to be out there this week. He got downgraded. He has a knee problem going on. And that's been Goff's go-to guy. He finally went under his receiving yards last week, Connor. But
it was
I think part of that was because he didn't play a lot of the game because he kind of was injured, and
it would have cashed.
I think. Yes, but I don't think if I had to guess, he's trending the wrong direction. He got downgraded, not upgraded, or stayed the same for his injury report this week. But this is a Dolphins team that you know, they play tough. They were 3-0 to start the season, beat the Patriots 20-7, beat the Ravens 42-38 in a crazy comeback. Damn. They beat the Bills 21-19, despite the Bills having 90 offensive plays against their defense to their 38 or 48. Ooh. Either way, it was like an insane amount of difference. But then they lost 3 in a row to the Bengals. They got crushed by the Jets and lost in a close one to the Vikings.
They played the Bengals 3 times in a row?
No, they lost
to the Bengals 3 times in a row?
They lost 3 times in a row to the Bengals.
Okay, I get it. I was just making a joke, Z.
Clearly funny. Everybody on this podcast is laughing.
We always laugh at his jokes. They're always hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a joke?
You guys just don't get it.
Where's that cricket sound effect? Drop it in.
UJ.
I mean, is there anything else you guys, wanted to kind of bring up about this game? Before yeah, we
there is something that worries me. I was watching this. I was watching a movie the other day called The Other Guys. It's a comedy with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. And there's this one scene where Mark Wahlberg says to me like a lion and kill the dolphin, you know, but then Will Ferrell comes back with this story of how the dolphin's going to come back and get the lion to learn how to adapt the land and somehow come back and get the lions, you know, and seek revenge in the night while they're sleeping or something like that. It's a crazy scene if you ever see it. Maybe we should put it on this pod. I don't know. But
isn't it Marlins? Hilarious.
But in, you know, in Marlins, that story, in that story, the dolphins like kill the lion. Made me worry a little bit, but.
So you're concerned.
So they were Marlins.
That's
so
not how
okay.
this conversation was, you know, you expected to go, was it? America! No. Oh, I love that movie.
Did you just scream America?
Hey, anyway.
You think because of the beard that I'm hairy, but I'm not.
I wasn't, bring that up.
I think
there wasn't even like an awning.
yeah.
Anyways.
Had to bring that up. It was too funny.
We got through a lot of other guys' quotes. But
that's all right. We'll aim for
the pushes. We have some predictions in a game to discuss here. Connor, I know you want to throw some
out
here.
Predictions. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to bring up Hutch, who I know some people are down on, but I think he's...
Why?
He's
why are they down on? They had a great game last week.
Yeah, it was the best game yet.
I don't know. There were some criticisms.
Are you down on him?
There were some criticisms of his one-on-one battles, I think, on this podcast.
I made them, but I'm saying he still needs to be more consistent overall.
I think he's tied with all rookies for pressure, quarterback pressures.
Yeah.
For first.
I'm saying he hasn't garnered enough respect still by other teams. He's still left alone a lot one-on-one, and I think he just needs to win them a little more.
Fair enough. Anyways.
If you go back and watch the film, he loses a lot of them still. But he made
you know,
two
that's
nice
most
plays.
DNs, right?
He made two nice
you know,
plays.
Hey, just
you know,
hate.
D linemen lose the vast majority of their reps.
Yeah, you look at his sack total; he's better than like a bunch of these guys. Where I don't have the list in front of me, but there's a bunch of stars that he's better than the sack total. I mean, so you know,
wasn't he above Aaron Donald? Like
I said,
he wants an
All
Pro now.
I want to see more out of him.
Well, yeah, it's,
you
he's
have
a rookie,
rookie DN,
and I said
but you
I
want an All Pro now,
and he is gonna grow.
Paul J. Wentworth.
I wasn't
877 All Pro now.
Okay, enough of that. I was trying. Not, I was kind of trying to start a fight, but not actually. I really just wanted to say I expect another big game out of Futch, and I expect a disruptive presence. And I'm curious to see
it.
With Pascal. I think the D-line is going to really interest me. Of all the units this week, I think the D-line is going to... I want to see if they keep building on it and what they got going here with these young guys.
Oh, yeah. Especially if Armstead's out. That would be a... Make a boon for the Lions defense in this game.
I know we've talked a lot about Goff, but I think that D line is just as interesting to me this week.
Absolutely. So, all right. Before we get into our ever famous predictions, we actually have a new segment. And it doesn't involve any of us, believe it or not. It actually involves the Lady Lions. Now, I don't know if we're going to do this on Wednesday or Monday. We're trying it out. You know, we try out things on this podcast from time to time. But this is just a quick little segment. Producer Kid J, are we calling it spilling the tea? Is that what we're calling it?
spilling the Kool-Aid, I think.
All right. That makes more sense.
That makes more sense.
You wrote to me that the segment is spilling the tea. So
that's a play on spilling the tea.
Spilling
the Kool-Aid.
Uh-huh. So this new segment, before we get into our predictions, is called Spilling the Kool-Aid with our Lady Lions. So we'll introduce them here now.
Hello, Lions fans. This is the Lady Lions, and we are ready to spill the Kool-Aid. We've got here with us Big G. Yo, Little G.
Ayo.
And I'm J-Dog, and we're here the day of the Lions-Cowboys game. And we're here to give you our perspective. First, we're going to go ahead and have our hot takes of the game, starting with Big G.
Ooh, well, I mean, I think we can all agree it was a very tough one today. Very disappointing in a lot of ways. Our defense actually stepped up to the plate today. but our offense did not, unfortunately. Finally, our defense is actually doing pretty decent, and our offense cannot put up the points that they were putting up in the beginning of the season. And it was just extremely frustrating. A lot of just shooting ourselves in the foot, a lot of penalties, a lot of loss of first downs that we had and got taken back. It was awful. It was awful.
Oh,
I don't know. What do you guys? I
couldn't agree more. But what do you think, Lil G?
I would have to second Big G's point. I was talking with my mom after the game, and like she said, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed because I know we could have played better, especially on our offense, especially on our QB, who I am a huge supporter of, but I do believe that he can play better than he did today. And I believe he will turn it around, but games like these are winnable games, and it's frustrating and very disappointing to see them kind of just shooting themselves in the foot over and over again.
Yes. Like you said, it was winnable. I mean, we were in the game the entire time until the last 2 minutes where we really just gave up basically.
Right.
It was a close game the whole time.
No. And at the very end, I mean, I was like, we can literally still get a touchdown, do an onside kick and still like, I mean, even to the very, like at the very end, and then that last like weird wonky turnover, and it was brutal today. Yeah. But ladies, I think I've already told you this, but it's actually not on the Lions. It's actually on my husband, because I told him not to ever take Jared Goff again on his fantasy team. And gosh darn it, he did. And we are currently fighting because I told him it's completely his fault. Man, Goff just had a tough game today. It was hard to watch. But also, I think one of my hardest plays to watch was when we were actually getting yardage, driving down the field. I was so confident that we were going to get a touchdown, and our guy Jamal just dropped the ball. Oh. It hurt my heart. Like, it just, I in my head was like, oh, we're getting a touchdown in this drive. There's just no doubt about it. It was like we were going down pretty confidently. Things were working, things were clicking. Goff looked the best he looked like the game during the game. And then that happened, and it was just, oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. This was one of those games as a Lions fan that we've seen before. And it's just feels like everything's working against us. And even if one side of the ball is playing well, the other side has to play like absolutely terribly. And there's no crawling out of the hole we've dug for ourselves.
No.
Yeah.
I do feel like at least the defense showed promise today. That is like, that's probably the best takeaway from the game. And finally, Hutch got his, you know, his sack. He's been so due for sacks.
He stepped up to the plate. Oh, he really did today.
It was hard to see the reversal of like before, like just feeling like the defense wouldn't give the offense a break. And now today seeing the offense not giving the defense a break was super tough to watch.
Yeah. 6 points in two games is unacceptable.
From the most scoring to the least scoring.
It's like okay. I know we have injuries. So, and of course, Amonra was back in, had to get leave with concussion
immediately.
So it was like, oh, damn it. So,
well, okay. So this game, we can all agree, sucked. But ladies, let's take some of that Kool-Aid and get ready to spill it out. Because, I mean, one thing that we're here for as the Lady Lions is we like to get the full perspective on the games, not just on the field, but what we get to see behind the scenes, because we all are avid followers of not only our players, but our players' wives, because we just like are so interested in their lives. So here's our follow of the week. So this will kind of lighten up the mood a little bit, because we all need some lightening up of the mood.
Yeah.
So Big G, why don't you go for us? Who is our follow of the week?
Our follow of the week, I believe, we all believe, is a no-brainer. Kendra's Kitchen. This is Taylor Decker's wife. Just gave birth to their beautiful baby girl, Daisy Decker. I think it's been exciting because her and Penny Sewell's wife have been pregnant. So it's kind of been fun following them and wondering, like, when is it going to happen? And to our delight, she posted 2 days ago the announcement of little Daisy Decker to the Lion family. It was a very precious post. So in Love, Sweet Daisy Faye Decker was born on October 18th, 7:28 in the morning, and completely stole our hearts. Welcome to the world, little angel.
So that's definitely someone that we can all follow.
I'm very excited.
Get more content.
I think it's going to help amplify her content, having little Daisy involved, especially on game days. I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, she already posted today
with her little daddy, Bo.
Yes!
But also, we hope that it also maybe inspires our offensive line a little bit more. We got Taylor Decker now. You know, he has a kid at home. He should be fighting harder.
I was hoping Daddy Decker would really come out today because of this. You know, he didn't have the best game. I think he had a penalty.
Yeah, he had a holding call.
Yeah.
So I was like hoping, you know, the spark of little Daisy would really ignite him today. Not so much, but you know, we'll see. Maybe he's a little tired from
dad life. All right. Well, so that's our follow of the week, but we have to put this out there because we expect a lot out of our Lions ladies, meaning the Lions wives and even our Lions players, but we also have we expect more of the week. So Lil G, why don't you take that away for us?
So our We Expect More of the Week is an important one this week. And this would be Jared Goff's fiance, Kristen Harper. She's a great follow in general, but she was at the game in Dallas today, and we got, I think, two stories from the game. And, you know, we were spoiled with Kelly Stafford's content from game days, but we do believe that there's definitely room for improvement. Just kind of getting to see the perspective of being an opposing fan when you're married to someone on the field, it can be hard, I would imagine, being surrounded by people who want your fiance or husband to fail. So we thought that that would have been an interesting perspective to get this game day, and we were not fed the kind of content that we wanted.
I agree.
We're hungry for more.
We are hungry for more. And, you know, as we've done, you know, as we're spilling the tea, this is just a shout out to all of those Lions wives who do post. But, you know, let's up it a notch. We're watching. We're ready.
We support you.
We support your husbands. We want to see what your lives are like. And, you know, we feel like you guys do add to the team. So we want more.
Yes.
This is, you know, our general call out. All right. Well, that's enough for us spilling the tea today. But we'll hopefully be back spilling the tea soon. Spilling the Kool-Aid. But all right. You guys ready?
Yep.
One. Two, three, go!
Lions!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, so there's our Lady Lions segment. So and insightful. Hopefully we'll hear more from them throughout the season. We'll give them like Saturday or that week. We're still moving into the pack. I don't know what we do, but we'll give them
I just feel like I know our team so much better when they go on talk about the Lions.
So
add something.
Let's wrap up the podcast here with our ever famous prediction. So the Lions at home. Of course, a 1 o'clock Eastern noon kickoff. Lions 3.5-point underdogs this week at home. The age of the Lions being favored is long gone. Remember those nice 2 weeks when we were favored?
Yeah.
And the over-under is 51.5. It is a big one. It's the big one. So let's start with Connor.
I love
your prediction.
I love the under in this game. I think the offense will bounce back to an extent, but I think Swift's going to have a little bit of rust. He's shaken off. And I think the D is going to keep building on things. I think it's going to be, let's say 21-17 Lions.
Ooh. All right. We like it.
All right.
Let's go to Run Dog.
All right. You know, I was feeling a little down until Bob told me about how Goff said he's going to work on it this week with his past, his pocket presence. Now I'm like, all bets are off. I think we're going to get the over by ourselves and score 52 points. Seven of those are going to come from the defense when Hutch sack fumbles and takes it home. And then he's going to say, see, Big Z, I can win my one-on-ones. He knows. He listens. And so
I hope I'm motivating him on the field. That's great for me.
I think Tom Kennedy is going to go off in this game along with St. Brown. I think our quick little guys are going to make it happen this week along with Swift. To put up some big points.
All right. Wait, so what was your final score?
52-3. They're going to get a field
goal. Okay, I missed that one. Okay.
Yeah, all the right. Defense is going to be tight.
A little letdown there.
Yeah, a little bit of a letdown. 3 points.
Yeah, I know.
We'll learn to forgive you later.
I'll drink more Kool-Aid.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, so Bob, prediction.
Predictions. All right. Well, we're coming back home to the beloved Ford Field. And the Dolphins, they've been up and down this year. I haven't watched a ton of them. Most of the clips I've seen of him have Tua's head bouncing off the turf from different angles. But hopefully that won't happen to him this week. But we'll get some licks on him. But their defense, up and down. They give up 42 points. They hold the Bills to like 19 or whatever. But they're going to run into a buzzsaw in Detroit because the Lions got Swift back, pocket presence, practiced. You know, it's all good right now. So I think our offense is going to start clicking again because Amon-Ra is also back, which is huge for this team. So we're going to be back in that 35. We're going to get those touchdowns. 38-17 Lions. The defense will stay inspired. We crush them. Take the over. I think that's the over. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
That would be the over. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's go, baby. UJ.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd take the over in this game, too, because for some of the same reasons you guys said, I think Goff's going to have a bounce-back game, especially with the presence of Swift there. I think it's going to make a huge difference in the offense, him and Brown, St. Brown. So I just hear our offense doing some really good things. And our defense is not going to totally stop the Dolphins. They got some weapons too, but I think we'll stop them enough and in key times when we need to. So I'm looking at a score of something like 32-27, something like that. It'll be a little close, a high score, but the defense is going to make a couple key steps. The defense right now, I don't know. The last week was kind of inspirational to me, the way they played. Plus, you know, coming back after it's been like at least 3 weeks since we've been back in the home crowd again, it's some home cooking is going to be good for this team. I think they're just going to be feeling it. They're going to be psyched. They're going to come out flying, man. And it's going to be a good game, hard game, but we're going to win it in the end. So 32-27.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. All right. What a score.
Yep. Exciting game.
Is that a lot of field goals? I'm trying to put in my head. How do you score 32?
Well,
10 field goals and a safety. I wasn't
really thinking hard about it when I came in.
Anyway. All right. I like it. Maybe a 2-point conversion down there at some point or something like
maybe. That. Maybe. I don't know.
There you go.
All right. Beautiful. 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 So, all right. Lions at home. Desperately needing to win. I love desperate teams, especially as underdogs, especially at home. This is a great spot for the Lions. I think
we know you love a desperate team.
A little timid. He did not play great coming back off the injury list from his concussion. Now, maybe that was just like a rusty game against a bad opponent in the Steelers, but I think it might be a little more. I like the way this Lions defense was trending last week, coming in this week against what I think is a lesser. I think this offensive line is not as good as the Cowboys, and I like our defensive line. I was encouraged by Pascal last week. That was really nice to see. I was encouraged by Hutch, believe it or not. I was encouraged by him. I looked for him up this week, especially if Arnstead is not there. But it will be a close one. You know, this Lions team needs I think the team, they don't need to blow out a team. I think they need to like come out with like a tight win at the end. I think that's going to be better for them in the long run. So having said all that, I'm going to go 27-24 Lions. So that's the under by half a point. 27-24 Lions at home. The money badger, Michael Badgley. That was what he used to go by in San Diego. Now LA Chargers before he got cut. And you can't have a name Money Badger get cut by a team. But that's what he used to go by. But he looked good last week. Comes up with a game-winning field goal at the end of the game. And the Lions take this home. And Hutch has a couple more sacks this week. At least all one right. and a half.
Last week. Yeah, I like that.
I like it.
We all predict a Lions victory.
Let's Whoa. Maybe Kirby Joseph finally snags an interception this week.
Hey,
oh, yeah, I think so.
That'd be a nice
right there.
There you go. Yeah, it'll be. It's opposite week. You know, Tua throws the ball the opposite, you know, the wrong way. He throws lefty. So maybe Kirby Joseph will catch one rather than drop it.
Could be.
Bob, you throw.
I just want to see him make him
you
make
throw
it.
The wrong way too, right? You throw
yeah, up, lefty. That's the right way to do it.
If you look in a mirror, you're telling yourself you're throwing right. In reality, you're throwing it the wrong way.
But, oh my god! I just figured that out. Oh my god!
I just want to see Kirby Joseph make a guy flip again. That was fun.
That was fun. That was fun. Would be nice if you know he didn't catch it at all, and we didn't have to. But I do like.
Well, we got a fumble
part.
Though.
Yes, I do like that part. All right, so cool. Let's wrap it up. We want to thank SideLineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that for hosting the podcast. Spotify, Apple, Reader Podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that as well. We want to thank the Lady Lions for their segments. So I hope you appreciated that. You know, that we are big fans of them. They're big fans of the Lions, and they drink the Kool-Aid. So always greatly appreciate that. And thank you to our producer, of course, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J. Hey, there we go. We always appreciate the work he does on the podcast. And Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your predictions for this upcoming weekend's game against the Dolphins. Otherwise, gentlemen, listeners, that will wrap it up for us. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a great Sunday night. I'm going to promise you it's going to be a great Sunday night. This is going to be a Lions victory. We're going to have ourselves a grand old time being 2-5 this weekend.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, sir.
The best 2-5 team
also,
in football.
Be great. Be safe out there. Lions fans, I don't know if you're wearing like the bag over your head for as your Halloween costume or not. Maybe you have something better in store. I saw some did one of you send that or something like that? Yeah. somebody was. But anyways, have a safe and happy Halloween as well. The Lions will scare the Dolphins this Sunday. I should have probably started with the podcast with that pun, not the end. But nonetheless, thank you everybody for listening. And last but not least, as always, go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.